Hi, this is Heidi.
I'm Gabe.
And I'm Cody.
Thank you for listening to Nerd Post Podcast.
Join us as we recap our favorite movies and shows, starting with Star Wars.
So sit back and disappear into a galaxy far, far away.
We hope you enjoy.
Hi, I'm Heidi.
No. Hi, guys. Welcome to... Welcome to the Chaos. It is our first real episode recording Phantom Menace.
The Menace of the Phantom.
Hands down, everybody's favorite Star Wars movie. So, you know, we obviously had to start with the classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, of course. So why, you ask, would we be recapping a movie from 1999?
Because every time I see Darth Maul's double lightsaber pop out, I, you know, you finish that sentence.
Cody just likes it when things pop out. It's fine.
Yeah, he falls asleep.
I go.
No, but honestly, it's because we are going to do all the Star Wars movies in chronological order, but also because we are 10 months into a global pandemic. So if it wasn't for this recording right here, I wouldn't have had any social interaction the entire weekend. So I've tricked my friends into recording this recap with me. And we're going to have a grand time. It's going to be a blast, you guys.
Having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we want to get started. This movie starts in. Cody, do you want to give us a little bit of that opening crawl?
Turmoil has engulfed the Galactic Republic.
Oh, no.
No, not that? Okay. The Galactic Republic is in turmoil, ladies and gentlemen. That's all you need to know.
Perfect. It's perfect. And honestly, you should do it in the Clone Wars narrator voice. Turmoil has engulfed the Galactic Republic.
Oh, I wonder if I could do that. Turmoil has engulfed the Galactic Republic.
Well, you got to do it in Jar Jar. Do it with Jar Jar.
Oh, no.
Can I do the voice? Misa, turmoil has engulfed the Galactic Republic. No, that sounds Irish.
Yeah. Nice. It was lucky.
You're a leprechaun now.
Hey, those are your people, Gabe.
Yeah, they are.
Oh man. Yeah, I don't know how to do that in... It's like nasally. Misa. No, that's not
closer.
It.
Was closer.
It was a little bit closer.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you guys a quick story. When I was a kid, me and my brothers would practice speaking in like Jar Jar Binks to each other and speaking in like Gungan to each other. So I actually have an alarmingly good like Gungan that I can break out into that absolutely repulses Chris, my boyfriend.
Do it. Do it.
Misa no tinkin to sa bomba general.
That's how we start every episode after this.
No.
You just say something.
Yeah. Just say nonsense.
In Gungan.
Yeah. So it's terrible that I'm actually
I'm really
good at
glad
Gungan.
That we have that forever.
I hate it.
I'm really glad.
I really hope you don't edit that out.
I'm not proud of my Gungan, but it is going to come in handy as we recap, especially Phantom Menace.
I'm really glad that he has the most screen time he does in this whole prequel trilogy in this movie.
I mean, I've got literal quotes written down here, so I won't even have to make it up. I'm going to be able to. I've got a thing.
I'm really glad that two of us did our homework for this one, because I literally like sat on my couch, watched the movie one time, and I was like, I'm good to go.
Good enough. Good enough. Okay, cool. So let's start in with our actual recap then, okay? We get through that opening crawl, and we come into a trade dispute, which is what anyone wants to sit down and watch in the evening. The far most interesting thing
it's
could possibly
politics.
Mention. Yeah, exactly. So we're
it's
gonna
on
sit
TV.
Down.
We might as well just make movies about it.
Yeah, exactly. Super exciting. There is a Trade Federation, and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn are here to negotiate with the Trade Federation, who has put a blockade on the trade with Naboo. Have you fallen asleep yet?
Oh, we're recording. Okay, here I am. Don't worry.
But at least they got their cool Jedi robes on, right? So they show up and we hear our very first, I have a bad feeling about this.
Oh, something that I am so happy that a majority of the directors that have done any of these Star Wars movies have actually put into all of them, with the one exception of arguably one of the worst movies ever created under the Star Wars name, the Solo movie, where Han Solo's like, I've got a good feeling about this one. Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. Shut the hell up. No, you don't. It's a bad feeling all the way around. I know everything kind of worked out in the end, but shut up. All right? There's only bad feelings in Star Wars.
Cody's sitting there going like, you need to look more like Harrison Ford.
You need to act angry at everything. You need to be disappointed in everything. We hate ourselves. We hate Jedis. We hate Sith. We hate everything, all right? There's only bad feelings in Star Wars.
That is the most accurate description of Star Wars fans I have ever heard. Thank you. Thank you.
You are welcome.
But we will get to Solo. We will get to Solo and all the bad things. But also, I would argue some really good things too.
And I would as well.
Okay, cool. So we will get to that. But for Phantom Menace, okay, we got Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan in there, and the Trade Federation is being crappy. We got the Viceroy, and then they're like, "Oh my gosh, there's Jedi here." No, I'm going to call Lord Sidious. So we see good old granddaddy Palpatine in as Lord Sidious too. So we get this introduction right to all these characters. And then did you guys notice?
Has anybody else noticed how big the Numidians are? Like they were standing next to actual people.
Yes.
And I'm like, these guys are huge.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because they like shorten them in the Clone Wars series. Because if you notice, like Ahsoka being the little 12, 13-year-old, I think she is sitting next to Newt Gunray, and they're, like, almost at eye level. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in this one, they're huge.
Uh-huh. I noticed it at the very end, actually, as they were walking away from Queen Amidala. But, yeah, totally. I totally get that. Okay, you guys. But then they say, oh, there's Jedi there. Here, we're going to kill him. They release Deoxys gas into that chamber where the Jedi are waiting. And so the Jedi are just like, hold your breath.
Just taking a deep breath. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, wait.
Guys. But okay, but we skipped probably one of my favorite lines out of like this beginning part. Because I don't remember ever hearing this line when I originally watched it. But then when I was going through and watching it and taking notes, I was like, this is hilarious. How have I never heard this before? And it's Newt Gunray saying it to his buddy. Newt Gunray's like, yeah, you go in there and kill him. And he's like, are you brain dead? I'm not going in there with two Jedi. Send the droid.
Yeah. I have never agreed more with somebody than that.
Perfect. So they are legit low-key scared of the Jedi. Like, this is not good. They're calling their boss. They're trying to kill him, but they won't go near him. And they
which also brings me to my second favorite line that Darth Sidious says to Newt Gunray's little friend. He's like, I do not want this stunted slime in my sight again. What an absolute burn. Just get the fuck out of here, you little piece of shit. You stunted slime? Like, what? Right out the gate, within the first 10 minutes of this show, two absolute bangers.
Yeah. And I think that's really so appropriate for, like, the separatists, too. The way that they all interact. Like, they're all shitty. And they all know they're shitty. And so they're really just being shitty. And we get to see that part of them.
And it's interesting if you, like, kind of look into the members of the Separatist Party. They're kind of like the shitty people of the galaxy. You have the Nemoidians, who literally just got described as stunted slime. The Techno Union, which are a bunch of like robot alien hybrids. The shark people from, I don't even know what their actual species are, but the sharks from the Clone Wars, when they're on the Mon Cala planet, like, they've got some pretty seedy people working for the Trade Federation and the CIS. It's incredible.
And something that I found interesting too watching it was that at this point in time, there aren't separatists yet.
Because
the Trade Federation still had a seat in the Senate. And so at this point, no one is even aware that the Trade Federation has made a separatist attempt to separate themselves from the Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's perfect. That was one thing interesting because I've just recently watched The Clone Wars. And so to go back and watch Phantom Menace, I was like, oh, so this is like before stuff started to hit the fan, really.
Uh-huh.
We get to see kind of before the separatists. So we get to see kind of this undisturbed version of the Republic, which was refreshing to see after watching the Clone Wars. Oh, man.
Which is just all fighting all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we see before real war has broken out here. So, yeah. So, of course, our heroes, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, they fight their way out. They just pull out their lightsabers and make quick work of the droids around them. Quick escape. And now they're like, hey, let's go let the Chancellor know. It didn't go well. The negotiations were short. But in this opening scene, we also get a cool transmission from Queen Amidala. So this is like our introduction to Queen Amidala. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we see her. And I've actually kept a running tally of how many costumes we see her in this movie.
We're going to have fun during that episode.
Yeah. I might just save like a costume breakdown episode because I'm a cosplay nerd. And so I'm constantly geeking out over the costumes. But yeah, so we see her in her first costume. Now, you guys, let's talk about how she speaks very monotone.
It's always like this, and you are not going to attack my people, and I will not sign a treaty. Mm-hmm. Like, there is nothing.
Yes. She's like, the Federation has gone too far this time. I mean, very monotone, right? But, okay, so let me ask you guys. I feel like one of the critiques of Phantom Menace is that the acting was poor, and they point out Queen Amidala or Natalie Portman's acting. And I'm like, whoa, 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 hold up. I think Natalie Portman did a great job in every acting scene. As far as her acting throughout the entire movie, I really don't pick apart Natalie Portman's. I think the queen is supposed to be monotone, right? She's supposed to be like that. They wanted that as the queen.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
I think that 70% of the time that we even see Queen Amidala, it's Keira Knightley.
It's a decoy. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I sometimes wonder if maybe they rehearsed it. They maybe had to work on a certain, you know, style and voice tone that they both could do pretty effectively.
Which would make sense, because going back and watching it, me and Jessica were trying to point out when it was Natalie Portman and when it was Keira Knightley. And it's interesting that when they are, I feel like when they're in a closed room, it's usually Natalie Portman. But when they're out in the open, where there's like, which is kind of shitty to say now that I think about it, when they're out in the open, it's more often than not Keira Knightley. And thinking about it, it's because if she were to get assassinated, it would be her double and not actually her.
Right.
Yeah. So you can tell when it's her decoy, I feel like. But I also feel like the queen herself is just supposed to have this monotone, like, because she's being queenie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like etiquette almost, where you're supposed to be super to the point, no side talk, small talk, whatever.
Right. It comes with the white face makeup. So you get white face makeup, you get the monotone and dead eyes.
Exactly.
Right.
It's not necessarily bad acting. I feel like that's what they were going for. I will not condone a course of action that will lead us to war. Like, they were going for like deadpan there. I don't know.
Whatever. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd agree with that.
Okay. Cool. But yeah, moving on from our divergence off into Queen Amidala. Mm-hmm. The movie goes on. We see like the Trade Federation ships down on Naboo. and they're wreaking havoc. They're knocking down trees. So we see Qui-Gon running on the surface of Naboo. And you guys, this is where we are introduced to the one, the only, the hated Jar Jar Binks.
You misspoke. It's the most loved character of all time, Jar Jar Binks.
Wait, can we go back just a little bit? Why did they separate onto separate ships?
Because they were hiding on the transport ships, and I feel like if they had gone together, but it would have been a little bit more obvious. There's what?
They're huge ships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's two people.
You know what? Why did they force run away from the droid decaz, but then didn't force run to fight Darth Maul? You tell me, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. I was just thinking that when like Qui-Gon's like, okay, we have to separate and then we'll meet back up on the, you know, the surface. And I was like, cool. You know, those are huge ships. Is that just in case one of them goes down and you die? Like,
see, and I almost think of it as like, hey, let's split up so that if one of us gets caught, it's not both of us getting caught. And then we can send a distress signal to the Jedi Council.
Yeah,
that almost feels more.
That maybe feels more like it.
Yeah, because after reading more of the Master and Apprentice book, which it started to get good, baby.
Oh, yeah, it is, right?
I'm starting to get good. That's definitely more of Qui-Gon's leadership style of, hey, I know you want to hang out with me, and I know we'd be stronger together, but right now it's imperative that we relay the information to the queen, whether it's one of us or both of us, and then work on getting the other one back.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, that does make a lot more sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, cool. So Qui-Gon's running. Jar Jar is in the fucking way. And so he basically just tackles him to the ground.
Right off the bat, we see just how great of a character Jar Jar Binks is. He's just in the way all the time. That's all you need to know about Jar Jar Binks is he's in the way.
Yeah.
It is one of the few times that Qui-Gon loses his cool.
Okay. Yes, that's what I have here. Okay. So immediately he's got his bullshit talk. He's like, "Mui, Mui, I love you." He tells Qui-Gon that he loves him. And Qui-Gon says that he's not intelligent. And so Jar Jar says, "Well, I spank."
And then Qui-Gon comes back with the second best burn. I'm telling you, like 20 to 30 minutes into this movie, there are bangers left and right. He goes, "The ability to speak doesn't make you intelligent, buddy."
When he said that, I was just like, boom, got him.
Oh, ended. Boom, roasted. It's like that scene from The Office. Kevin, you're fat. Jar Jar, you can talk, but you're not intelligent. Boom, roasted.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Oh, I love it.
I want somebody to make me an edit of that where it's Michael Scott's body, but Qui-Gon Jinn's face, and he's just like, the ability to talk doesn't make you intelligent. Boom, roasted. And then it just isn't the next thing is a picture of like Jar Jar's head on Kevin's body, and he's just like, sad.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Okay, so he's stuck with Jar Jar now because Jar Jar is insisting that he has a life debt to him because he saved his life. And Qui-Gon wants no part in this. But they are running from these droids, and Jar Jar chimes in that the safest place is going to be Gunga City. So like, oh, okay, we'll take us there. And he's like, no, I can't. I've been kicked out.
On second thought.
And so you guys.
He does this a lot the whole movie.
Yes. But this quickly confirms that literally everyone, even his own people, hate Jar Jar.
Yeah, everybody hates Jar Jar. I think the only people who hate Jar Jar more than fans of Star Wars are the people in Star Wars.
His own people. Yes. Yes, 100%. Like, it's unanimous. No one likes him. The characters do not like him.
And that is shown throughout all three of these episodes. Mm-hmm. It's people are just so dismissive of him and, oh, he's just a Gungan. He's an idiot. We've all seen it. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
But he relents because they are being chased by droids. And so he takes them in an underwater dive. Okay. You guys, I always thought this was so cool. When they just put their little mouthpieces in and all of a sudden they can just dive underwater and just swim. I always thought that was so magical. The Gungan city reminds me of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. I see that comparison. My only thing about that is, okay, so obviously those mouthpieces can filter oxygen out of water. Why did they hold their breath in the poison gas?
Hey, maybe it only does liquid to air, not air to air.
You know what? That's pretty fair, and I would accept that, but I'm just saying, another one of those, but...
Don't overthink it, okay? Just go with it. Just go with it. Turn your brain off and go, whoa, lightsaber.
Turn your brain off. Lightsaber, wow. Shit go brrr. It's like those memes of the people. There's the one on the side that's saying like, oh, you can't be enjoying that. It doesn't make sense. What about the respirators? What about the Jedi's running fast? And the guy on the other side's just lightsaber go brrr. you can't overthink it or you're not going to have a good time.
Right.
Exactly. You Star Wars nerds. Stop overthinking it. Calm down.
Let's all, when you watch Star Wars, just shut your brain off. It's okay to be brain dead for an hour and a half.
Totally. Okay, cool. So we go down and everyone in the Gungan city is like, this guy, uh-oh, this guy, they are distancing themselves. And he
walks in like, hey, everybody, how's it going? And they're all like, oh, this fucking guy.
Jar Jar would be the worst drug dealer. It's like the first person he bumps into is the cop.
He would be.
Yes. He totally would. And so they take him to the king. Okay. I am going to really pick apart the king here because I feel like as annoying as Jar Jar is, the Gungan language alone is really annoying. Okay. We get the king and he's like, we saw no like a de Naboo. And he's got these big old lips, right? I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Oh.
And Obi-Wan has to literally look up at him and say, you are symbiotic with the Naboo. You know that, right? You must understand this.
Oh man, the way that they talk is just so infuriating because this is one of the first times I've ever watched this movie with subtitles on. And the subtitle, whoever had to type all that out, bless your heart. Bless your heart. That stuff sucked.
Hold on, I will get to that real quick. Hold on. Sorry. I will get to you in 1 sec because I wrote the captions down because the captions were
good.
Okay, but hold on because real quick. So Qui-Gon Jinn uses his Jedi mind tricks on literally the Gungan King.
Yeah.
That means that the Gungan King is so goddamn stupid that Jedi mind tricks work on him. The King. The King.
The guy that's supposed to be the most reserved, the most, like, intelligent, whatever, and he's just like, oh, I'll give you a ship. You're right. You twisted my arm. Yeah, of course. Uh-huh. Oh, and you want Jar Jar? Yeah, take him away. Yeah, he's fine. Yes. Get out of here.
I've been standing there like, and it wasn't even that hard.
I was only using 1% of my power. Uh-huh. It was like one punch, man. Consecutive normal punches.
So he's like, we said giving Usa una bongo, right?
Obi-Wan looks over at Qui-Gon like, what are we going to do with a drum?
What are we going to do with a drum?
I'm crying. Okay. I'm
crying on the podcast. Okay. You almost made me spit out my drink, Heidi.
You're welcome. Okay. So Jar Jar looks at Qui-Gon and says... Jar Jar looks at Qui-Gon and he says, going through the planet core, bad bobbin. So he convinces Qui-Gon to take him with him.
Are you getting to the part where it's better to die here than in the core?
Not quite. No. Okay. So the king gets the explanation that Jar Jar thinks that he has like a life debt to Qui-Gon. Okay. So the king goes, you saw having a life play with Deeson Heeson? And then he does the weirdest thing. He goes, and in the captions, it says loud blubbering.
Oh, man. It makes me want to cry because it's so stupid, but it's so stupid it's funny.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, my jaw dropped when I saw this with the caption. I was like, they were serious about this. They put this in the movie. Like, they wanted the Gungan King to do loud blubbering.
Blubbering.
They planned that out. That went through.
Yes, it did. Oh.
Why? Why?
It's so weird. The only thing that I could find about it was it's some sort of agreement. Oh. So him doing that is him saying, yeah, all right, get the hell out of here. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
They don't even do that in the Clone Wars with the next boss. Like, only he did it.
Yeah, it was his thing. He does it one more time at the very end when
he does help.
Yeah. Okay, so we're through the loud blubbering. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're off. They're off in their bongo, and they're getting chased by a goober fish, which also is in the captions, like goober fish. It was really a joy to watch this with captions on, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
A goober fish.
And of course, a bigger fish. There's always a bigger fish.
Except it was the same bigger fish that ate both of them.
Yeah, right? They came across another scary fish that also got eaten by a bigger fish. They were just all these side quests. Mm-hmm.
The first time I watched this movie, I didn't realize that Qui-Gon used a mind trick on Jar Jar to get him to relax. And then Obi-Wan says, oh, you overdid it.
Oh, yes, that was perfect. That's what I put in my notes. Okay, so he like puts him to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I put here, I wish he would do that more often.
That is a Jedi trick that is very rarely used, and 90% of it should have been on Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Well, what's funny too is that, like, I feel like in most of the like extended universe or, you know, some of the other media, they try to say like, mind tricks is something the Jedi don't do very often. And Qui-Gon's just like, mind trick, mind trick, mind trick on like everybody he walks by.
He's like, hey, I need something from you. Boom, it's mine now. Uh-huh. Hey, I don't like you being over here. Think you're asleep.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, Qui-Gon, just like, he's just like, the mind. I'm just going to mess with everybody that I walk by.
Well, you know, Qui-Gon's a little rebellious.
Like, no, and I love it.
Yeah, we see that when he's fighting with the council, but also we hear it from Obi-Wan being like, are you really fighting with the council again? Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, Qui-Gon's not a rule follower.
No, he's
really cool. In the book, oh my, like, I love this book. As slow as it is, anybody who's listening, definitely look into the canon Star Wars books. Is the one I'm talking about is Master and Apprentice. And it takes place just right before this one. But Qui-Gon is just the, hey, yeah, we'll go and try and do this. Why not? Let's see how it works. Let's do a little improvising here. Let's do a shot at the da, a what is the da, a scot at the da, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely one of the greats.
Qui-Gon walks this line of like, I'm a rule follower, but I'm not a rule follower. And it's interesting that, especially in like Master and Apprentice, we kind of see that like Dooku was that way. The other apprentice that Dooku trained is kind of that way as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's just interesting that like we see that in basically the three generations of Jedi.
It's basically Count Dooku passed it on to Rael. Rael passed it on to Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon passed it on to Obi-Wan. And then Anakin comes in and he just shatters that glass ceiling.
Yeah, he does.
We'll just do everything by the seat of our pants.
I feel really bad for Obi-Wan, though. I feel like Obi-Wan is the most rule follower in that line. And so Obi-Wan's just getting it from all directions.
Nice.
But Obi-Wan in the book actually is not a rule follower when he was a youngling, which is interesting to see that he like almost overcompensates because he was trained by Qui-Gon.
I see. I love this.
Yeah, because it's when we get into talking about this book more in depth, we can talk like about all that, and I'm super excited for that when we get there. But yeah, you can tell that he went from why doesn't Master Qui-Gon follow the rules to, you know, maybe if I did a little thing over here that wasn't necessarily rule following, and then in to this one where he's like, huh, why is he doing all this stuff? To Clone Wars, where it's like, you know, he's just improvising. And then during the Clone Wars series, he's improvising. Even episode 3, he
improvises.
It's passed on. It's so interesting watching the apprentice slowly become the master.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can see it during the Clone Wars with Barriss Offee and Luminara and Dula, and you can see it with Ahsoka and Anakin and Obi-Wan. It's incredible.
That is something that I absolutely loved about this movie, is that you can tell that Qui-Gon very much influenced Obi-Wan's life throughout the whole series. It's like almost like Qui-Gon's character, almost like it feels somewhat similar to like Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool. I think it's pretty well done for this movie to put that across.
Yep. We get a really short time with Qui-Gon, but it's enough to see how he carries on throughout, how his influence is always there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amazing. So cool, you guys. Okay. So back in the chronology here, they did get through in their bongo. They did get through to the surface, and they come up out of the water and they go see Queen Amidala, right? And they tell her, hey, you should come to Coruscant with us. We've been unable to negotiate, so let's go plead your case to the Senate. And Amidala says she wants to plead her case to the Senate. So there's some droids in the hangar. They get out. That's fine. Whatever. Pull your lightsabers out, right? We're Jedi. And they get on the ship to Coruscant.
I want to say one thing real fast. So they're sneaking around, right? In the castle. They stand on the ledge. Jar Jar stands on the ledge too, and then backs out right before they jump. Because both Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon jump down, and Jar Jar like hangs on. He's like, oops, I didn't think this through.
Of course he does.
Like, should we expect anything less of him after seeing him for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And so we're on this ship, okay, to Coruscant, and then they run into this blockade. Trade Federation blockade, back into the politics, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is where we get to meet R2-D2.
Yep, because the Trade Federation gets a lucky shot in, hits the shield, and 4 astromechs go into the water, and 1 lucky boy comes out of the water, and it's our homie, R2 mother effing D2, baby! Yeah.
Whoop.
One of the three droids I like in the whole series. And if we go through the movies and the TV show, I'll say when we hit the other two, which we might not get to one of them.
Okay, yeah. So Gabe doesn't like droids. So he is low-key Din Djarin about it. Not sure why.
Yeah. He just wants a big old cuddly IG-11 nurse droid voiced by Taika Waititi to come over and cuddle him. That's all he wants.
Or a little like small one, like BD-1, because BD-1's cool.
No, you definitely seem like the IG-11 type. Yeah, you don't have to lie to me.
Yeah. Gabe just needs to be nurtured. It's kind of his
I guess so. But until then, I will hate droids.
Oh, man.
Okay. Oh. So we're introduced to R2-D2. He's awesome. We love him. So is it just established from this point on that R2-D2 was a Nabooian astromech? Like, that's his origin. That's where he comes in. Like, that's it.
That's okay. The first time we ever see him. And it's incredible that Queen Amidala was so grateful, I guess, for that one sticking it out, that she literally brings him in and is like, hey, guess who got promoted to badass? And I'm going to have my servant, who's actually the real Queen Amidala, clean you up. That's just, and I feel like that's just, what's the handmaiden's name? That's her way of getting back for, hey, I'm supposed to be there when you're supposed to be assassinated, so you're going to be here to do the dirty work by cleaning the droids.
That's such a good point. She's like, if I might die doing this for you, you can at least go wash this droid. That's your punishment.
Sabe.
Oh, Sabe? Okay, thank you. Perfect. Yeah, so, but now they have a problem because they have actually taken some damage to the ship. And so they're like, hey, we need to land. We need to refuel. We need to replace our parts. And the closest little hole in the wall place that they can find is Tatooine.
Where it all started, baby.
So this brings us to Tatooine. Do you guys think it was the Force that drove that decision? Do you think that was meant to be?
I mean, in one of the famous Jedi's quotes, I don't know who quotes it, there are no accidents, there are no coincidences. That was definitely Force-driven, and it couldn't have happened any other way.
Yep. That's actually Qui-Gon in this later on, like when he's trying to, I think when he's trying to convince the council, like, this was not an accident that we found this kid here. Okay.
And something cool that's in Master and Apprentice is that, like, in this movie, Qui-Gon feels more of a, like, a believer in the prophecies. But before this period, like, he didn't believe in them at all. And it was really cool to see that Dooku is actually the person who influenced his thinking into believing in the prophecies.
Oh, amazing. Which is incredible, because reading that book, the first thing that Dooku does after being assigned Qui-Gon as his apprentice is, okay, let's go walk around the temple. We'll go see anything that you want for the first half of the day. Second half of the day, we're in the library. We're researching prophecies. Right off the bat, it's shown that Dooku's interested in prophecies. That reflects off onto Qui-Gon Jinn. And then Qui-Gon passes that to Obi-Wan in this one, where Anakin's the chosen one. You have to teach him. You're the only one I trust to do it. So that's the comparisons after reading this book for the little bit that I've been reading it is incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing. Cool. So yeah, here they are, and they're just here to fix their ship, right? And so they go into like one of the smaller shops, and here's where we meet Watto. Okay.
Yeah. Which before we get into this, I just want to point out how hilarious it is that the entire time when him and I think it's just R2 are walking away from the ship, her guard comes out and is like, hey, the queen wanted her handmaiden to come with you. And he's like, yeah, I don't want, I'm not taking suggestions from the queen anymore. And then she chimes in, I think you should do this. And he's like, well, I'm not going to be happy about it. And she's like, I don't care because I'm the queen, so I'm coming along with you.
Oh, perfect. Yes. So if anyone else is keeping track, this is costume number 4 that we see Padme Amidala in.
I got to go get some alcohol. We got to take shots.
It's talks for every costume. But yeah, so she does. She comes out in costume number 4, and she sasses her way into accompanying Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. And I just want to say, I think it's a really good...
stays on the ship. Sorry. Oh. Obi-Wan stays on... Qui-Gon and R2 and Padme.
Yeah, I thought Captain Panaka was with them, too.
No, he only comes out to escort the handmaid out, but it is just the 3 of them.
Oh, you know, like that actually went into the city?
Yeah, it was just the 3 of them.
Yeah, it's Qui-Gon, Padme, and Jar Jar.
Uh-huh. Okay, so Obi-Wan...
Yeah, so there is 4, because R2 does go with them because he eventually meets C-3PO. So it's the 4 of them. Jar Jar, Qui-Gon, Padme, R2.
Okay. We're not going to let the handmaid come, but we're going to let the bumbling idiot come.
You know what? Yeah. That's pretty solid. But I mean, if you were just planning on taking an astromech and then this idiot who apparently owes his life to you because you just decided to be a good guy once comes along, would you really want somebody else trailing along? You're one guy having to protect all 3 of these idiots.
I love you. Was Qui-Gon hoping he was going to die on Tatooine?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Which is funny. So funny, because if it hadn't have been for Padme taking his hand out of the pod racer turbine, that thing would have been gone. And I highly, highly feel that Qui-Gon would have just stood there and said, oh no, he's bleeding out.
Oh, in the will of the Force.
Well, I guess we can't mess with destiny. All right, guys, let's get out of here.
She pulls him out, and he's just like, snapping finger, like, dang it.
Puts him to sleep. Yeah, it'll be better this way as he bleeds out.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Oh my God. Man. Cool. So, yeah, but they all walk into the shop. We get to meet Watto. Right. And he's a slave owner. And so really, really quickly, he calls in Anakin.
Our other boy.
Yeah. Okay. You guys, this is our introduction to Anakin Skywalker, the great Anakin Skywalker, the great Darth Vader.
Who at this point we've only known as Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. And then for 5 minutes at the end of episode 6 as Anakin Skywalker. So
right.
To see him as a child and knowing what he's going to do later is pretty intense. I'm not going to lie. It's crazy to see that, like, this little slave boy from Tatooine is going to go on to commit literal genocide.
Yes.
Yep. It's so weird. Like, seeing this moment and really breaking it down in my head, I was like, wait, okay, so Anakin walks in and he says something in Hatis. He says, Metasa Jopasa.
Yes, he does.
That's the first thing we ever hear the great Darth Vader say. I was like, whoa, this is tripping. Okay.
The only thing I regret from the original trilogy is, why didn't we ever get James Earl Jones speaking Hutties? Could you imagine that in the deep voice?
Ichupa no wata.
Oh, he says that as he's force choking Jabba.
Oh man.
Oh, that's so good. Okay. But yeah, so that actually means I was cleaning the fan switches.
Classic Darth Vader, I'm telling you.
So sweet little slave boy Anakin says to Padme, the first opportunity he gets, he says, are you an angel?
Love at first sight between a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old.
A 14-year-old, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. There's a 5-year difference.
Yep. Yeah, okay, let's talk about that. For the longest time, I thought there was a 10-year difference.
I weirdly thought that same thing. I thought it was a lot bigger, but 5 years at that age is still a little creepy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, hands down. Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think it's because the actor was like 8, and then, well, so Jake Lloyd was 8, and Natalie Portman was 18. So I think I knew the age of the actors, give or take, more or less. Mm-hmm. But the characters are 9 and 14, officially. So there is just a 5-year difference, officially.
Yeah, yeah. They're yeah.
Yeah.
Because then it makes it easier when Hayden Christensen jumps in to, mm-hmm. or I guess it did not feel as weird, but it still mm-hmm. is just a little weird.
Yeah. So technically, when they launch into their actual relationship, they're 19 and 24, mm-hmm. which is not as no. weird. No. It's not that bad, but it's still a little weird. It's still a little odd, especially because, okay, so yeah, if the girl is older, it makes it a little different, but it's still not that bad. Like, I'm not going to say don't embark in a relationship like that. But the thing is, she's like the ex-queen. Like, she is maturity level 10 here.
And he's still a slave boy from Tatooine.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, by the end of this movie, he's a winner of pod racing on Tatooine, and he saved her planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And he does experience quite a bit, especially as a Padawan. So yeah, that's fair.
And then somehow he regresses when he becomes a Padawan. I don't understand that, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman was 18 and Jake Lloyd was 10.
Was 10. Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
So there was an 8-year difference.
Okay. Can we talk about Jake Lloyd real quick? Tidbit. I really think that Jake Lloyd is so super, super cute when he's being Anakin in this movie. And I watch his acting and I really feel like he is a good child actor. Mm-hmm. So it is such a shame that he went down such a dark path, you guys.
Did he go down a dark path? What happened to him? Oh
my gosh. It is so, so, so sad what happened to him. Can I actually read you a statement that the family had to read?
Yes.
So there was this statement that came out. So Jake Lloyd, like all child actors, then went down like a shady path with drugs and getting into trouble. He got in like a car accident and stuff, was having a really hard time. This is off of insidethemagic.net. This was posted on January 29th, 2020, but it was a statement released from the family on the health of Star Wars actor Jake Lloyd. And it says, in a 2012 interview, the Star Wars actor stated that his childhood was a living hell and he even had to deal with bullying at school.
I heard that one. Yeah, I did. And that's the saddest part, because like, if I went to school with that guy after seeing this, I would straight up be his best friend. Damn. What was Ewan McGregor like? What was Liam Neeson like? Did you get to keep any of the props? I would have straight up stolen a lightsaber. Like, yeah. That guy, I'm reading his bio on IMDb right now, and that kid got treated like garbage. F those kids.
Well, and the worst part is it was probably like a lot of older people, too, that were being mean to him, which is probably the saddest part.
Yeah. And so I just want to state for the record, if you are the kind of person who would make fun of Jake Lloyd by making lightsaber sounds at him every time you saw them, then maybe don't hang around this podcast because we don't want your type here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so then his mental health took a really bad swing. So his mother comes out and releases this statement. And she says, "We would like to thank everyone for their kind words, their support and goodwill. Jake has been diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, but unfortunately, he also has a symptom called anosognosia, which causes a lack of insight into his illness. This only adds to the struggle he faces, which has been very difficult after the tragic loss of his younger sister, Madison. He has moved closer to his family and we're all working hard to help him with this. He is still a kind and caring person and we hope to have him back to his fun and entertaining self as soon as possible. Jake will continue to make progress with the love and support you continue to show." So that just kills me. Watching this cute, cute little boy acting as Anakin and knowing what a terrible path his life takes after this just killed me. Throughout the rest of this movie, as I was watching it, I was like, oh my gosh, he is not a bad actor. He's not a bad child actor. He does a good job. Like, yeah. It's great. It's fun to watch. He didn't do anything wrong. And
I'm reading more of this trivia. Like, apparently kids used to call him, like, they described his acting as wooden. And so they used to call him Mannequin Skywalker, mm-hmm. which, I mean, from the outside, that's kind of a funny play on words, but super messed up to say super to mean. A 10-year-old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, hearing that he had schizophrenia, he went to jail for resisting arrest, running, like driving recklessly, all that mm-hmm. stuff. That is sad. What a
not okay. Not okay. Because his portrayal of Anakin in this movie is great. I have no complaints about it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with what he did here. He didn't deserve to have that happen to him.
No, not at all.
So mad respect from my boy Jake Lloyd. If he ever hears this, buddy, love you.
Yeah, hey, we're on your good. Team.
Yep, we're on your team, Jake Lloyd. We love you. You did a great job. We are actual fans of you. True fans. Love you, Jake.
1,000%.
Awesome. I'm like a little emotional about that now.
Hey, we're crossing all the borders. We're getting emotional. We're getting mm-hmm. weird. Dave's taking his shirt off. Let's do this.
I'm not doing that.
I want on the record that Gabe is taking his shirt off right now.
I am not taking my shirt off.
On the record, he is taking his shirt off.
I am not taking my shirt off.
On the record, Cody really wants to see Gabe shirtless.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Hey, Cody.
All right. Now to the best part of this movie. Okay. One of the greatest scenes ever filmed.
What, Saboba beating up Jar Jar?
Exactly, baby. Yes. I mean, I was gonna say the pod race, but you know what, who doesn't love a little bit of fighting?
Right. Hold up, before the pod race, we gotta know that Jar Jar not only spit out a frog to hit Sebulba and cause that fight, but also that sweet little Anakin, played by our lovely Jake Lloyd, and breaks up that fight. Mm-hmm. Like, he comes out and he talks trash on Sebulba.
Yeah.
He's like speaking Huttese again. And he's like, I wouldn't try that if I were you, Sebulba. He's talking trash about the race immediately.
This little eight, nine-year-old is like, I know that you could kick my ass if we were to fight in real life, but I'm still going to talk smack because what are you going to do about it? Nothing. Fight me on the field, bitch.
Mm-hmm. He's so cool, right? He's so cool. And then there's like a random sandstorm that comes up. And so he's like, hey, you guys want to come to my place? And they're like, sure, yeah, no problem. Mm-hmm. It's like, no fight.
They're like, hey, this 9-year-old wants us to come home with him. All right, let's go hang out.
Uh-huh. Closer to me. Let's go, guys.
You got any video games, dude?
I like how they get to his house. They're eating food. Mm-hmm. Jar Jar launches his tongue, grabs the food off the plate. Oh. Qui-Gon allows him to do it the first time. He's like, he won't do it again. Does it a second time, and then he yanks it out of the air, and he's just like, don't do that again.
Because... Anakin says something about him having faster reflexes, and Qui-Gon says something like, yeah, you know, it's kind of a cool talent, as he shoots it out, and then he just yanks it and is like, don't do that again, and releases it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, if Liam Neeson did that and just stared at me and said, not again, I wouldn't breathe without his permission. But then,
isn't that the part where Jar Jar sticks his tongue out at him?
Uh-huh. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was like, seriously.
This punk ass is going to go into the home of Darth Vader, and he's going to disrespect them by putting his grubby little Gungan tongue all over everything?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Disrespectful.
Yeah. Okay, so again, unanimous hate for Jar Jar because he's acting like an idiot.
And I wish that I could say during the 10 years that Anakin grows up from episode 1 to 2 that our boy grew up, did not.
Yeah. Oh, we can talk about that when we get there because I feel like there. that's a whole thing, but I agree with you.
Yeah, it makes me sad that I want to like Jar Jar, especially because I have fond memories of him. And then watching it now, I'm like, oh no, this is rough.
I mean, I think he's meant to be a comedic relief.
Yes,
to be the goofball.
Yes.
But it's, again, if you didn't turn your brain off for this, there's so much to pick apart that it is quite hard to sit through, really. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so as they're sitting there after the whole tongue scene, we get this really interesting conversation between, like, Anakin and Qui-Gon. And Anakin's like, I know you're a Jedi because you have a lightsaber. And Qui-Gon's like, maybe I stole it. And he's like, nah.
And he says the classic line. Qui-Gon's like, hey, maybe I killed the guy and I stole it. And Anakin goes on to say, nah, you can't kill a Jedi.
I know.
Let's just all take a second to appreciate that beautiful level of irony when he literally goes on to commit genocide again. Hence the people, he just said it's impossible to kill.
Oh, I know.
Oh, that hurts my heart.
He proved it firsthand that it's possible.
He's like, welcome to Mythbusters. There's a myth out there that Jedi can't be killed. I have a line of them. I'm just going to throw my lightsaber through them, see what happens. Hey, myth busted. Oh, the best line. One of the best lines. No one can kill a Jedi.
It's true.
It's like it reminds me of this meme that I saw years ago where it's that clip where it's no one can kill a Jedi, and then it's the intro to Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Da 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 da. Where Anakin goes and commits genocide.
Oh, this is right for the heart.
Oh, man. So good.
And we'll get there, too.
Yes, we will. We will. And so now they get to the point of why they're really there, though. Because he has to explain. Because poor sweet little Anakin says, are you here to free the slaves?
I had a dream that you'd free the slaves. Yeah. And Qui-Gon's, not necessarily, little buddy. Sorry, champ.
Yeah, I literally.
Better luck next time.
Yeah, I'm literally here to come up with some money to get some parts. And that's when they establish that gambling is a good way to come up with money around here.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about Anakin. Yeah, what?
No, sorry. I was just going to say the one thing you can do on a desert planet full of nothing, gamble on high stakes racing, baby.
So true. Yep.
I also love that before we get here, that this whole movie, Qui-Gon has been mind trick, mind trick. He gets to Watto and goes, all right, check this out. Mind trick. And Watto goes, doesn't work. And he's like, but it does. And he's like, but it doesn't.
Yeah. He's like, what are you, some kind of Jedi? Mind tricks don't work on us. The only thing that works is money. It's like, okay.
That is perfect because, by the way, what I have here in my notes is that the fact that the mind trick doesn't work on Watto, but it works on the Gungan King, means that Watto is actually smarter than the Gungan King.
He's more compelled by money than anything else.
So yeah, they established that Anakin actually has a pod racer that Watto doesn't know about. And so Shmi relents and she's like, I may not like it, but he can help you. Which is also super creepy. Like, I feel like that's alluding to, like, the fact that this was all meant to be, right?
She's just trying to be a good mom, and it's like, if all he wants to do is pod race, then I guess he can, but I'm going to be sitting up in that tower just losing my mind at every turn because that's my boy. If he dies, I literally have no reason to live.
Well, the weird part, though, is it, like, almost to put it in a little bit more perspective, it's like, hey, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to let my 8-year-old juggle swords so that you guys can get home.
Oh, that's literally what me and Jessica were talking about, because I just got done watching it. She was like, why are they putting a 9-year-old in this high speed race? And I told her it's to compare it. It's like handing an 8-year-old a helmet and saying, hey, do you want to be in this NASCAR race? That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Right.
Like, right. Yeah. No, oh, this except is
people
not
are going to be shooting at you. The other cars are going to be yucking things at you. They're going to be trying to run you off the track the whole time.
Oh, yeah. The space terrorists are going to be trying to snipe you point blank because they hate you for being on their planet. Yes. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, go let your kid race in there.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Like the one thing I have down was like, this is not safe for children.
No. And then I love that as he's showing them all the pod racer, his friend is just like, yeah, maybe you'll finish this time.
Maybe you'll finish this time. That one line of, oh man, you've tried so many times, but you've just not crossed that finish line. Oh,
and Padme's eyes bug out of her head when she hears that. She's like, you've never even finished before?
We just bet our entire ship on this, and he's never finished.
Right. Yeah, she does not like it at all.
I love that in the cave, the queen is, well, the handmaid, quote unquote handmaid, is like, the queen would not approve of this. And Qui-Gon's like, don't worry, she trusts me.
What she doesn't know what hurt won't hurt her. And she's just sitting there thinking.
Oh, yeah. No, she's mad.
She knows. She
goes, you assume too much.
Yeah. Oh, man.
She's mad.
ha ha, I'm back. She's mad. Sorry.
Yep. So we are almost up to the actual pod race starting. But there was a random cool conversation in there where Qui-Gon comes up to Shmi and is watching while Anakin's working on his pod racer and asking Shmi, like, hey, so who is his father? Like, I think he is force sensitive and stuff. So who's his father? And she's like, there wasn't one. And so this is a big deal.
Jesus.
He's the Immaculate Conception space Jesus.
Yes. And so rewatching it, I was looking at her face and I was like, are you Mary? Right now?
Mary Skywalker.
Yeah, totally. And so it's super weird, but it's like, okay, so Qui-Gon's way interested, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I feel a little foxy coming on.
You could just see him sitting there with all the, like, as he's piecing it all together, it's like all the pieces are floating in his head.
He's sitting there thinking to himself, he's like, oh, okay, yeah, no father. Then his mind, he realizes and he's like, there's no father. Oh, no. I've read about this.
He's like, all right, let me test this. Midichlorians, let's check this out.
All right, let's bring it in. Another thing that people hate. Midichlorians, baby.
Okay, real quick. First, can I say that he took some of Anakin's blood without Anakin's consent?
No.
Like, Anakin was like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just checking it for infections. So he lies.
Yep.
He lies to Anakin and had just fucked him without his consent. So he just stole his blood and lied about it.
He's like, hey, what's that over there? Anakin looks, all right, got it. Don't worry.
What are you doing? I'm putting it in my pocket and saving it for later.
What you got there? A smoothie.
But yeah, he sends it off to the ship where Obi is, and Obi analyzes it. And he comes out with, he has a midichlorian count of over 20,000. As if
over
anyone.
9,000.
Over 9,000.
As anybody watching this has any concept or gauge against this, what they're saying. But he says it's higher than Master Yoda's. So yes, let's chat midichlorians real quick. Are they ridiculous?
I mean, I really like the conversation that he has with, is it Shmi, where he's talking about how it's a coexistence between the midichlorians and the Jedi, or I guess the Force-sensitive being, because not all Force-sensitive beings are Jedi. Is it Shmi?
We get the full explanation at the end of the episode when Anakin asks about it, because Anakin's like, I heard you guys talking about midichlorians. What is that?
Oh, okay.
That's when he explains it in full, and he says that it's in every living cell. So he's like, it's in my cells? And he said, yes.
It's inside of me?
Mm-hmm. So he says, it's in my cells. And he says, it's in all living cells. And Qui-Gon says, they are microscopic organisms that live inside all living cells, and we are symbiotes with them. If you quiet your mind, you can hear them speaking to you. So that's really creepy. Not even a little bit creepy. you can hear the symbiotic parts of your cells speaking to you?
Hey, if I could listen to my body telling me things, I would never, ever have to figure out what to eat ever again. I would just listen to my stomach say, in and out. And I would go out and get in and out. That's all I'm saying. Pretty tight.
Okay, so as we overanalyze this, does that mean that everybody who dies then shrinks down to these microorganisms and now is in everybody and everything?
Yeah. The force is in all of us. And so, like, high level overview, I think this is as good of an explanation as you could possibly give for the force. Like, I appreciate that they tried to explain how the force works at a microscopic level. But the more you pick it apart, more it doesn't work.
Right.
Because if there are microscopic organisms that live inside all living cells, then how the hell does Anakin have a higher count than anybody else? Because they live in your cells. So does he have more cells? Does he have like a tumor's growth of midichlorians?
So that, I think it's explained because he's born of the Force. Kind of like Yoda species is rumored to be born of the Force, but it's interesting because I'm looking at a list of like the midichlorian counts for Star Wars characters, and Anakin Skywalker, it has a 27,700 count per cell, and Yoda has a 17,700 count, so he's a full 10,000 below Anakin. So it's interesting that Anakin is definitely born of the Force. Like, it's canon, Darth Sidious did it to Shmi Skywalker. But then rumored that Yoda species is also born of the Force, yet he has 10,000 less. It's interesting. I wonder what Sidious did to give him such a higher count than him. Because he definitely doesn't have more cells. Compared to Yoda, everyone else does. But
Gabe, didn't you say that like the way that Sidious ended up forming Anakin was actually by accident?
Yes, but the only problem with that is none of this is canon now, it's legends.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's why it's like we just don't really know his origin anymore.
We need a book.
Yeah.
Hey, we might get one. We might get a comic series. Cool. So, yes, the random side quest of midichlorians. Very exciting. But yeah, so since he's got all those high midichlorians, he is able to pod race, apparently. And so we see this lead up to the pod race.
But he couldn't pod race this well before?
Lightsaber goes burr, man. Lightsaber goes burr.
You know what? You're right. Lightsaber goes burr. I will take back my question.
Just don't think too hard. Well, so in this lead up to the pod race, like, you think, okay, it's time to get started, but this really important thing happens where Watto is talking trash and saying that he's betting on Sebulba to Qui-Gon. And so Qui-Gon's like, you know what, I'll bet with you one more time. And he asks to free Shmi and Anakin. And so they end up rolling on it because he won't free both of his slaves. And of course, Qui-Gon uses, again, his Jedi powers. Flicking those fingers all over the place.
Yeah.
He's leaving nothing up to chance here. He's like, after, like, before, maybe I would have risked it. But as soon as Shmi said no, father, it's blue all the way, baby. It's blue all the blue all the way.
We have a vergence. I need this slave for it.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't steal his blood for nothing, okay?
Yeah. So he's rolled on it now. Now he's going to be able to free Anakin if he can win the race. So that is, that's pretty cool. Finally, we get to the pod race, you guys. And so we meet the...
I feel like that if Qui-Gon could have, like, the pod race would have started and everybody's pod racer would have just fallen apart. But he's just like, I can't use the force that obviously.
He's just all of them explode. All of them and explode. Anakin just like, woo! Does three victory laps.
Yeah.
I feel like he would have been finger flicks the whole time if he could have gotten away with it.
Random rock. Oh, that tower's gonna fall down. Oops, your thing got disconnected.
Yeah.
All over the place. But yeah, so we get the weird two-headed announcer guy.
Yeah, that one of them can speak English and one of them only speaks Hutties.
I think that's pretty clever, because if I had two heads and both of us were like sentient enough.
One language and one language, how do you understand each other?
I mean, we're both learning Galactic Basic. We're both learning Hutties, so we can understand each other.
Speak Basic.
Not that we've heard. I mean, at that point, because the Huts are so prevalent, or I guess relevant, I don't know, on Tatooine, obviously they're going to speak Hutties because the only person they're really trying to impress is the Hutt family, and then Galactic Basic for whatever other Chode wants to show up to watch 8-year-olds die in a fiery crash.
By the way, the Hutts end up falling asleep during this race.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, absolutely. He wakes up and congratulations, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, I don't even care. Like, but speaking of Hutties, So Boba comes up to Anakin to talk trash one more time.
Love
and
it.
And Anakin goes, "Discruity dope hot, slamo."
Boom, got him.
Yeah.
Boom, roasted. Ladies and gentlemen, pack it up. We're out of here.
Yeah.
Don't count on it, slime ball. But that means that slamo means slime ball. Yes, and so is. I just really want to start calling people slamo all the time.
Slamo. Yeah. is that what we should call our listeners, our little slimos?
Our little blamos.
Don't like, I don't know. Don't be a slimo.
Don't be a slimo.
Yeah. So the race starts by Jabba the Hutt biting the head off of like a frog or something and spitting it out onto a dog.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could you imagine just every race being announced, like started, instead of a pistol shot, it's some fat guy walking out and just biting the head off of a chicken and just...
Yeah, gross, right? Like, we're in a really gross place, really slummy place. This is awful.
And somehow Jakku's worse.
Ah! Oh man.
Yes.
Can't wait for episode 7, right, baby.
Yes, Gabe. Midvale is always worse. There's no question.
On Jakku, they're like, man, we wish we had some frogs to bite off.
Dude, I wish we had pod racing. This sucks.
Yeah. Can you imagine how much it'd improve the economy if we could get pod racing here?
Oh man. All right. So race boogity 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 boys, let's go racing. Pod race has officially started.
Him and Anakin and one of the aliens are the only two that don't start.
Okay. Fun fact is for the Nintendo 64, I had the episode 1 pod racing game, and at one point in my life, swear to God, I could name every single one of those pod racers.
Oh, same, but I knew them by name now.
Absolutely not. It has been over 10 years since I've played that, probably closer to 15 years. Could not name a single one of them. I used to know who the fastest was, who had the best pod racer, what the routes were, everything. And I am sad that I've lost that knowledge.
Isn't there one guy named like Ben Quadaneros or something?
That's the guy. That's the guy at the first. Ben Quadanero was the one that didn't take off. Yeah.
Yeah. Counterhead is saying his name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and Ben Quadaneros stuck there with Anakin. What a bunch of pieces of shit. Look at them. Those poor boys can't afford ships.
And then Anakin takes off and this guy just explodes.
He's just like, ah!
Yes. Yeah, he actually explodes. So this is definitely a safe place for a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's literal death happening left and right. For sure. Best place to raise your son. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And back to the NASCAR analogy, all four of his tires roll off and then his engine explodes.
Yes.
Just roll off and, hey, what's going on? The best part is they don't even stop the race. No,
they don't even
like,
stop the race. They just keep going.
They just sit there and say, yeah, that's what happens. All right, continue on, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. There's no yellow flag. There's no stop on the play. There's no cleanup. They just keep going.
Yeah. Completely deregulated racing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So they're going around, they're doing a few laps. Rewatching it, the sound of those pod racers is like in my memory. Like it's so ingrained. Like
there's a mail truck at our office that sounds like that. And I trained during my training days, I was in that mail truck. And I mentioned to the regular I was driving with, I was like, hey, do you watch Star Wars? And he was like, nah, I'm not into that stuff. And I was like, oh. Well, your engine kind of sounds like a pod racer, so I thought that would be fun to share with you. And he's like, I don't know what that is. Exactly.
Totally. Oh my God, I could totally see it 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those males are relentless.
Oh, I can't wait to get the next round of them. So I'm driving around in a Benzo mail truck, baby.
Awesome. Yeah, at some point in one of Anakin's laps, he has a cord disconnect from the side of his pod racer, right?
He's spinning.
Yeah. And so he gets like this little magnetic thing in it. I don't know what it is. And he somehow pulls the cord back and reconnects it. You guys, what was that? Does he use the force to do that?
No, it's definitely magnetic. Okay. Yeah, it's magnetic. I relate it to, like, I call them reachy grabbies, but it's I have one, but it's like, it's a stick with a claw at the end of it and then a handle that you squeeze and it closes. Okay. I would equate it to that, but just cooler because magnets.
Yeah. Magnets are awesome.
Yeah. He's got a more advanced reachy grabby than the rest of us.
Yeah.
So he gets that in, and then of course it ends up being neck and neck, just Sebulba and Anakin, right? So we're down to the wire, we're down to the last part of this race, and then also
before the race even started, Sebulba's just like, I'm gonna sabotage his car.
He's like, I don't want to take any chances because of how much shit talking I've been doing, so he... Oh, oops. Oh, no. And then just kind of goes away.
Yeah, he does.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Also, I want to say, I don't know if they added this in like the digitally enhanced versions later, but Gabe, I guess Heidi too. Did you guys notice Aura Singh was there?
Yeah. No, yeah. I think she was in the original. I could have
Yeah, scored. Buddy. That's my favorite part. Yes. Yeah, because she's yeah, she's, I can't remember if it's like the first lap that they're on, but she's just standing on an overpass just watching. That's the thing that I love about watching Star Wars now, is I can go through and find all the people that that you've seen in the Clone Wars, or that you've played the games with, like seeing those Jedi where I'm like, that's Master Peel, that's Luminara, that's Barriss Offee. You suck.
Totally having those moments. It's kind of mind-blowing for
Absolutely. That's why, like, I don't even watch the movie anymore. I watch the background to see who I can see. Name off all. I'm pretty sure watching these movies with me is terrible, and Jessica hates it, because I'm just like, all right, there's Master Peel. Oh, there's Offee and Luminara. They're Master and Apprentice. Oh, there's Keanu Moody, Kit Fisto. There's all these people. And you're, she's like,
Eddie,
like,
Gallia, you got headbutted and then stabbed by Savage.
And she's just sitting there thinking, just let me watch the movie. I don't care. Just let me watch the movie. I am not as invested as you are.
Star Wars fans are the worst. But yeah. So Bulba rams Anakin from the side because he doesn't want Anakin to win. By the way, he's done this before. They brought it up with Watto. Mm-hmm. Watto was like, yeah, you got ran off the track last time. And Anakin was like, Sebulba rammed my pod racer.
So he was Sebulba, ready this time.
Right. Sebulba is up to the same old shit, and they get stuck, right? Mm-hmm. They're stuck together, and somehow Anakin gets out of it. Sebulba crashes. Yay!
Yeah, see the boy. We see the boy eat shit, and what does he say afterwards? The Huddy's version of shit. Poodoo! as soon as he stops gliding across the stand, poodoo!
So we got Flamo and poodoo out of this. Around swearing in Huttese.
Oh man, oh, that's so funny. Yeah, just one of the best moments. Perfect.
And then you got the announcer guys going like, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Yeah, perfect. Yes, yes. Yeah, the announcer guys are like, the crowds are going nuts, and they literally are. So we get this awesome moment where Anakin won the pod race, you guys.
We get it. The boy wins, and we got it.
we know what that means for him at this point. We know that that means he's going to be freed. He's going to be a freed slave at this point.
And is that where we're stopping?
Mm-hmm. Perfect place to stop.
All right. This has
been
fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, we will pick up arguably the better parts of this episode and our next episode.
Yep, this is the way.
May the force be with you.
This is getting out of hand. Now there are two of them.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Nerd Post Podcast.
You can follow us at Nerd Post Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And email us at nerdpostpodcast@gmail.com.